Land.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And joined, of course, by Dan Strauss and Ian Geis. Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Fabulous.
David Pogue is going to be joining us again today. I know he was just on the show in December, but he's got a new Nova special. It's going to air on Channel 9 and the whole PBS network on Wednesday night. So he'll be with us probably in about 20 minutes or so. And then Colin will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. He's going to review the new Resident Evil movie. I worked for that person once. And I've got to review the new Matthew McConaughey movie called Gold. And so we'll do that and the rest of the showbiz stuff in the 4 o'clock hour. And in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans, and Knuckleheads in the news. Wednesday night, I went down to the Peabody to see the Tedeschi Trucks Band.
I completely forgot about that and wanted to go so bad.
The first time I saw Susan Tedeschi was in September of 2000. Remember the late B.B. King?
Yeah.
He used to have a blues festival at the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
Did they do it like 2 or 3 years in a row, maybe four?
Yeah, I think so. And they're usually at the Crossroads Festival that Eric Clapton will put together.
Yeah.
It's usually up in Chicago.
Yeah, he hasn't done that for a while.
No,
but,
no, he hasn't.
But I remember the night because there was a guy who did an acoustic blues set for about 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And then I had never heard of Susan Tedeschi. This is 16 plus years ago. Yeah. I'd never heard of her, and she just came out and just blew us away because she sounded and played like Bonnie Raitt,
who I'm a
huge fan of.
Yes.
So she was great. And then the next act was Buddy Guy.
Oh, man.
Who just stole the stage.
Yeah.
He just, unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he came on before B.B. King. And if I were B.B. King, I would have said, I'm not following that. I know I'm B.B. King, but Buddy Guy, come on. So that was fantastic. So that was the first time I ever saw her. And then I had not seen her since 2000. I had bought several of her CDs and listened to her music, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just terrific. And, of course, in the meantime, she had gone and married Derek Trucks.
Yes.
Who was the nephew of Butch Trucks of the Allman Brothers Band, who, as you know, committed suicide, we found out yesterday morning. And Butch Trucks was in the Allman Brothers Band for the more than 40-year history of that band. And Derek Trucks had gone and played slide guitar and rhythm guitar in the band for, I don't know, what, 10-plus years?
Yeah.
And he also had a solo career.
Yes.
And then he and Susan Tedeschi met, and they fell in love. And not only did they merge their lives, they merged their bands into the Tedeschi Trucks Band. And mm-hmm. so they were scheduled to play Wednesday night at the Peabody.
And that was the night that Butch
yes. It was. It was. We found out in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, so I was actually worried that the concert was going to be canceled. But I didn't hear anything all day long from anybody. Looking on social media, all the people were sending their best to the family, but there was nothing about it being canceled. So, all right, I guess it's going on. So I went to, along with 2,000, with 3,000, however many the Peabody holds. The place was packed.
Yeah, I know several other people that were there, too.
And it was very interesting because the whole time we're wondering, will he say anything? Will they do a tribute or something? Well, the opening act finishes, and they clear the stage and they reset it, and Tedeschi Trucks Band comes out, and they don't say anything to the audience. They just launch into Statesboro Blues.
Oh, man.
The original song by Blind Willie McTell.
Yeah.
Which the Allman Brothers had made famous, I think, on the Fillmore East album.
Yes, it was.
71, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Which Butch Trucks had played on. And they played it exactly the same way Derek Trucks, I'm sure, had played it with the Allman Brothers for all those years that he was on the road. And it sounded fantastic. And if you knew about the death of Butch, mm-hmm. it really meant something to the people in the audience. So that was a really nice moment. And then at the end of their set, before they came back to do the encore, the last thing they played in the set was In Memory of Elizabeth Reed.
Yeah.
Another Allman Brothers song.
Yes.
So that was kind of like, you know,
their tribute.
Yeah, the bookends tribute to Butch Trucks.
Did they ever say anything at all?
At one point, while somebody was tuning up or something in between songs, Susan Tedeschi said, we just want to say thanks. You know, we've gotten a lot of messages from people about Derek's uncle, and we appreciate that. She didn't talk about the fact that he had shot himself and killed, you know, committed suicide.
Yeah.
But she said thanks, and so that was nice. And by the way, are they the only married slide guitar blues players?
They might be.
I don't know of a man and woman combo who have their own band and do that.
No, but they're good. She is really,
she's
really good.
They're both just great guitarists. They did. She did an interesting quiet version of Bob Dylan's Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they did The Sky Is Crying, which Stevie Ray Vaughan made famous. And B.B. King's How Blue Can You Get? Oh, and George Harrison's Isn't It a Pity?
Yeah.
Which was on his first album. And then the encore was Ray Charles' song, Let's Go Get Stoned. And as they were singing this, I'm thinking to myself, this crowd is way ahead of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't smoked since 1978, but I went home stinking a weed like I used to in college.
Really? You
there was a guy right in front of me.
Okay.
And what's weird is, you know, indoor facilities are all non-smoking.
I know. Except for that.
So that nobody's smoking tobacco, but there was a haze of weed smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging over the place. I do have a couple of complaints, though. I got to air my grievances here today. I know it's not Festivus, but it's time for the airing of the grievances. One is that the Tedeschi Trucks Band was going to play for 2.5 hours, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
The concert started at 7:30. There's an opening act. Opening act played 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's usually about tops.
Is that? Well,
40 to 45 minutes tops.
Too long. Mm-hmm. And also, when you have a headline act that's going to do 2.5 hours, you don't need an opening act to do 40, 45 minutes.
Not generally. You can have the opening act do 30 minutes, and also depends on how long it takes to set the stage up.
Well, that was the problem.
Stuff.
That's exactly the problem. Because I know there are some bands that, you know, let's have an opening act, they'll warm the crowd up.
Mm-hmm.
But then they warm the crowd up, and then things stop for 20 to 25 minutes while they reset
Break
the
down
stage.
And reset, yeah.
Yeah, well, they have to, and usually, generally, like the headliner will have their stuff already set up.
It was, but still, they've got to move it forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not in a rush. What I'm saying is,
no. We
were warmed up, and then you let us cool off.
Yeah.
And then you got to rewarm us when you come out. So why have the warming in the first place?
Yeah.
Just come out and do your show.
Who was the opening band, do you know?
The North Mississippi All-Stars.
Oh, okay.
All three of them.
Were they good?
They were okay.
Yeah.
I was annoyed.
Yeah.
Because I know that Tedeschi Trucks is going to do a long show.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one complaint I have. Then another one is, you know, Tedeschi Trucks is a jam band.
Yes.
You know, they follow along from the Allman Brothers tradition. Their songs are going to be, for the most part, extended versions of what they've done, because they're going to do a lot of improvisation on stage in the middle of the songs.
A normal 5-minute song can be stretched into 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the case of In Memory of Elizabeth Reed, 18.
Oh, sure.
Because we've all got to experiment. The keyboard player's got to go crazy on the synthesizer like he's Herbie Hancock on the Headhunters album. And the trumpet player must have thought he was Miles Davis. We don't need this discordant, weird stuff.
We've played Down by the River by Neil Young before, and that is the ultimate jam song for different bands.
Mm-hmm.
And we've played it with when I was with Henry's Humans, and Tim Reynolds, we opened for him, and Tim came out and played with us. We played that song for 20 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's too long.
Not for us.
I know.
the people doing it, yeah.
But you know what? Were all of the songs you did 15 to 20 minutes long?
No.
Well, in this show, except for the few that Susan Tedeschi was doing, like the Dylan song or the others, every song was, okay, we're going to sing this to the lyrics, and now we're going to have a 10-minute instrumental break, and then we're going to come back. Which, again, I was a huge fan of the Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead, all these other early jam bands. Even Dave Matthews qualifies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would see some of their shows and go, okay, that was good. I don't need 2.5 hours of that. It just takes too long. And I'll tell you what made it longer, that made it worse, drum solos.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear I put an S at the end of that? Drum solos?
There were several.
The opening act had a drum solo.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
We don't even know who you are. You had no billing on the show. You're doing 40 minutes on stage, 5 minutes of which are your self-indulgent drummer banging around on things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tedeschi Trucks, like the Allman Brothers, has two drummers.
Mm-hmm.
They each get a drum solo later on.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to ask you, as a musician, you're a bass player. You probably never get to do a solo, do you?
No.
Do some runs?
I turn solos down. Have been times when we have been jamming, and they go, you want to do a solo? I'm like, no, I don't want to do a solo. So I don't...
Would you please talk to all the drummers of the world and tell them that they have to knock it off? It is self-indulgent nonsense.
Some drummers don't like to do solos. David, the drummer that I've played with many times, is not a big fan of doing drum solos.
They should have been banned 25 or 30 years ago. And having three in one night is akin to torture.
But I'm with you.
Unless you're going to do something different.
No, there is nothing different.
That's what I'm saying.
Every drum solo...
Exactly.
Whatever you can think of to do on the drums, been done. You're not coming up with anything new and creative.
No.
Oh, I'll go tom-tom bass cymbal. It's been done.
Yeah. But I understand what you're saying about songs being drawn out and then keep going. And then you can have two guitar players up there and have one guitar player do a solo. And then you play a little bit more of the song, have the other guitar player do a solo, trade off solos a little bit, and then end it.
And then come back to the chorus and let's get out of here.
Yeah, instead of then they nod back and forth and they keep going and then go back and forth and keep going and it just keeps going. And it's like, okay, I've had enough of the guitar solo.
I think I may have told this story before, but years and years and years ago, my wife and I went to see the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Legendary group of New Orleans musicians who, when we saw them, were average 150 years old. Average person, 150 years old. And the first song they come out and they play sounded to me like Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey. I'm not sure that's what it was, but that's what it sounded like to me. And the way that they did it was they would play the song for a little while, and then the clarinet gets to do a solo. Then the trombone gets to do a solo. Mm-hmm. Then the banjo guy gets to do a solo. Then and each member of the band does a solo. Then they come back when Bill Bailey, Won't You Please Come Home, and that's it. And then they started the second song, and it sounded to me like, Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey.
Wow.
And once again, they went around. Each person got to do a solo. And they finished that, and they started the third song. And I turned to Martha, my wife, before they started the third song, and I said, if this is Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey, we're leaving. And it sounded exactly like Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey, and before they got to the trumpet, we were out of there.
Was it in a different key, though?
I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, that was it. For 6 minutes each time.
Yeah, that Dixieland kind of music, that can all run together.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of it.
Yes.
But does everybody have to do an instrumental improvisation on every song? No! You know what? The first song, the clarinet guy will get to do it. The second song, the trumpet guy will get to do it. The third, or in the, you know, Tedeschi Trucks.
Yeah.
Okay, she'll do the lead guitar, slide guitar solo on this song.
Yeah.
Next song, Derek will do one. Then the third song, we'll let the keyboard player go. Then the horn set, or whoever it is. No drum solo under any circumstances. That's how it should go.
Yeah.
Now, I have one last complaint, and this is not about the band. This is about the venue.
Oh, the Peabody?
Have you gone to the Peabody many times?
No, I have not.
I've gone, and I have sat usually downstairs if I can afford the tickets. This time, we sat upstairs, my friend Bob and I. And we're up in the third row of the mezzanine. And by the way, there are something like 30 rows up there. Take a couple of those rows out and give us some damn leg room.
Oh.
I call it the Peabody claustrophobia.
Yeah.
Now, when we went Wednesday night, it was like 30 degrees out, so I'm wearing my heavy winter coat because I hate the cold. So I have to sit there in a cramped space that is not made for anyone over 6 feet tall. Bob is like 5'9", and he said, this is a little crowded. I said, I'm 6'4". Imagine what that's like for me. By the way, 6'4 in height and wider than I ought to be also. I understand that. So I'm not the normal human being, but you should be able to make seats that are comfortable for us without me having to sit through leg cramps. This may have affected my view of the concert.
Yes. Now you think back.
Now that I think about it, this may have been affecting me. Actually, I enjoyed most of the concert. But, you know, the Peabody was closed for 20 years. 20 years, from 1991 to 2011. Then they reopened it, and the place looks beautiful. It's a magnificent palace of an auditorium. It's just really, really nice.
Yeah, it used to be the Keele Opera House.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will never sit upstairs again because I can't. It's practically impossible for anybody over 6 feet tall unless they go in there and retrofit it again, take out maybe 5 rows at the top, and move everybody back. Just to give you an idea how cramped it was, you get more leg room on Frontier Airlines.
Whoa. They will never do that.
No, they're never going to do that because they could sell all those tickets.
Yes.
And they'd rather just jam us in. See, there's that word again. Jam band, jammed audience.
Yep.
It was a jam of a night. All right.
Do you have some peanut butter and jam?
No.
Yeah.
Wish I had. All right. What are we doing now?
We don't know.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I thought we just jammed the whole show into the first 15 minutes. That was
we
it.
Did.
That was my little improvisational rant here at the beginning of the show.
We could throw it to a traffic solo.
Yeah.
David Pogue coming up in just a few minutes. His new Nova special on PBS next Wednesday night is called The Search for the Super Battery, which to my ear sounds like the worst superhero ever.
And any time, you know what, when I was younger, I would never watch Nova on PBS. And I would see, coming up next, Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought of the car.
The Chevy Nova.
Yeah, I'm like, what in the heck is Nova? Yeah. So I never watched it to find out what it was.
You remember that urban legend that went around for a while?
That they drove sideways?
That Chevy couldn't sell those in Mexico. Because in Spanish, no va means doesn't go.
Really?
Oh, no.
Ah.
Just an urban legend, though.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, David.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Oh,
David Pogue is coming up next here on the Big 550 KTRS. Is it time for the drum solo? Let's do that.
It is. Time for the traffic solo with Tim Weiland. Tim.
Dan.
You got the stage, buddy. The spotlight's on you.
I got my solo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all yours.
All right. Good afternoon, guys.
We're nodding to you now.
Okay. Hey, we had an incident on eastbound 70 east of Air Flight. It looks like it's been cleared, but things are jammed back all the way to Lindbergh. Looks like we're running a bit slow on southbound 270 between Olive and Ladue. Pretty jammed up, though, north of Highway 40 down through the Clayton Road overpass. If you're traveling on eastbound 40, things slowing Union Station to the Poplar. And westbound 40, you're heavy Hampton through McCausland. And this traffic report brought to you by CC's Pizza. Now at CC's, take your taste buds on a ride with the Philly Cheesesteak Pizza, Santa Fe Chicken, and Kansas City Pulled Pork Barbecue. New on the Unlimited Buffet, just $5 and change at CC's. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Center.
Still behind the wheel at 6 p.m. weekdays, wishing you could get a full report of the latest news, sports, and weather? Well, you can with Fox 2 News at 6 with Sandy Miller and Rafer Weigel on KTRS. Depend on it.
Message and data rates may apply.
This is a formal apology from Force Factor to every guy out there who's looking to build muscle quickly and boost endurance. We recently released an extremely powerful professional-grade muscle-building supplement called Volcano at GNC. Due to overwhelming demand, GNC has struggled to keep Volcano in stock. If you tried to get Volcano, but were unable to because it was out of stock, we want to make it right by giving you a complimentary bottle. Get yours by texting RIGHT to 369-369. Volcano gives you an explosive pre-workout boost in nitric oxide, dramatically amplifying your energy and power. You'll tackle every rep with more intensity and endurance, better drive and performance, and faster recovery, resulting in a serious increase in lean muscle mass, size, strength, and definition guaranteed. Again, if you're a serious weightlifter who was unable to get Volcano at GNC, we're going to make it right by sending you a complimentary bottle. Text RIGHT to 369-369. That's RIGHT to 369-369.
If you're an unincorporated business owner, it's too late for you. That is, if you've already been sued and lost your home, your car, and your family's life savings. But if you haven't been sued yet, there is still time to incorporate and protect your personal assets. And if you do it right now, you can incorporate in just 10 minutes. Because Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners. For your free 10-minute incorporation guide, call now. 1-800-400-1019. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. If someone sues tomorrow, will you lose everything? Don't wait until it's too late. Hurry and call now for your free 10-minute incorporation guide while they're still giving them away for free. Call 1-800-400-1019. That's 1-800-400-1019. 1-800-400-1019.
Don't look now. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. So where are you going to go for that special piece of jewelry? You're going to go to Lourdes Diamonds in Ladue. Matter of fact, next weekend, January 26th, 27th, and 28th, they're having their winter sale. Proceeds of that sale will be helping out Backstoppers. You can take care of your loved one for Valentine's Day with great diamonds and great jewelry from Lourdes and help out Backstoppers. It's January 26th, 27th, and 8th in Ladue on Clayton Road, Lourdes Diamonds, or LourdesDiamonds.com.
The following is an incredible, life-changing, free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-700-5105. Call now and you'll also qualify for free shipping. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear things crisply and clearly, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so small and discreet, people usually don't even notice you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear things more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial and free shipping. If you like it, you could even get free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-5105. That's 1-800-700-5105. 1-800-700-5105.
Addiction can affect every family and every neighborhood. That's why there's ARCA. Find out more at ArcaMidwest.com. Whether your family is in the grips of a heroin addiction, maybe it's alcohol, maybe you're a working professional that has an addiction problem. ARCA has outpatient treatment programs as well as short-term and long-term programs to get you back up on your feet. I've seen it work myself. To find out more, 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
Tomorrow afternoon, they'll run racing's richest race, the Pegasus World Cup in Florida. California Chrome, the top money winner all time, and Aerogate are the favorites in the field of 12. Hi, this is Jay Randolph. Join me and handicapper Doug Nachman tonight at 6:30 for all the information about the Pegasus. It's presented by Del Mar Gardens, Taco Bell, and Fairmont Park, where you can wager on the big race. Insightful horse talk tonight, 6:30, right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Weekday mornings at 6:35, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
David Pogue is back on the show today. David was just on with us last month talking about his latest book called Pogue's Basics Money. but he's not just writing books. He's also the head of the Yahoo Tech division of Yahoo, and is also working for CBS Sunday Morning. And he also has occasional specials for PBS on their Nova show, including a new one called Search for the Super Battery. That's coming up this Wednesday night on Channel 9 here in St. Louis and across the PBS network on the rest of the country. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Let's start off with something I'm very happy to announce, which is that you just renewed your contract with Yahoo.
I did. It strikes a lot of people as peculiar and funny, and wait, aren't they going under, and aren't they getting bought, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, in fact, it's the fact that they're getting bought by Verizon is, to me, great news. It just means that Yahoo will be another property like the other things that Verizon has bought, AOL and the Huffington Post and Mashable and so on, that no longer has money worries. They keep right on publishing just without the money worries. So
that's
good.
Sort of that's
how I see it.
That's good when you have a boss who's not worried about money. That's a rarity in business these days.
That is indeed.
All right, so the new special, which airs Wednesday night, Search for the Super Battery. It's not a superhero comic book thing, is it?
No, it's not.
What's a super battery?
Well, it turns out that this show, we started making it a year ago, and at the time, the thrust of the show was that batteries are becoming ever more important to us, and we're not talking about just our phone batteries. We're also talking about, you know, electric cars will never really take off until we get the batteries right. And there's something else that most people don't even think about, which is there aren't batteries on the electrical grid. Like when you turn on your faucet, water comes out because water's been waiting there in the pipes. But when you turn on your light, electricity has to be generated for you right now. There's no such thing as a pipe where it's been sitting waiting. It has to be generated in real time. So solar power and wind power are never going to be a big thing until we have some way to store the solar power when the sun isn't shining, or the wind power when the wind isn't blowing. And so right now there's this multi-billion dollar industrial race to invent something that could store that solar and that wind power and to time shift it. And same thing with the electricity we use now. As you can imagine, everybody uses electricity when they get home from work till the time they go to bed, but no one's using it at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the wind blows, at night. So it's basically wasted. And electricity is so cheap at night that these utility companies literally burn it off. They waste electricity on purpose because nobody wants it and they have no way to store it. So anyway, so the bottom line is those were the three missions of the show originally, you know, electronics, cars, and the grid. And then in the fall, the whole Samsung thing happened with all the batteries blowing up.
Yeah.
So really, the timeliness of the show sort of fell into our laps, but we did suddenly make a big, you know, adjustment of the course to talk about the explosion problem.
By the way, what was the problem that Samsung had, and only with the Note 7, that they hadn't had with other devices, and I've never heard of it with, like, iPhones or anything like that?
That there actually have been iPhone fires. All lithium-ion batteries, all of them, are filled, you're not going to believe this, I couldn't believe this, are filled with liquid. They are filled with basically kerosene. They are filled with a flammable, highly flammable, pressurized liquid. You are walking around with a bomb against your thigh.
That sounds like a bad idea.
It really does. And what stops it from blowing up is, first of all, the controlling circuitry that governs how much it's charged and how much it's discharged. And, of course, the fact that they try to make this stuff extremely pure so there are no little particles that could cause it to short circuit. But if you go to YouTube and you look up battery explosions, you'll find all these videos of people poking their phone batteries with a screwdriver or a rake or something, and they blow up. I mean, they blow up with the least, you know, if there's a short circuit, if it's impure, if they're overcharged, if they overheat, there are all these things that can make them blow up. In Samsung's case, as you may remember, there were two rounds of this. Like, the first Note 7s started blowing up because they had bad batteries from one of their suppliers. The this liquid inside probably had impurities. So they switched to another supplier, and in the world's worst perfect storm, the second supplier's batteries also were unstable.
Oops.
So that was like double lightning striking. So anyway, so one of the coolest things, and you can tell me if I'm, you can literally tell me that's enough about batteries, but one of the coolest things we did in the show is we found this guy. He's a Tufts professor of materials science. He's not even a battery scientist. He's a plastics expert. And he looked at all this and he said, well, why would we have flammable liquid in our batteries in the first place? Surely there's something else that could permit ions to go back and forth in a battery besides liquid. And he came up with this new plastic that is solid. There's no liquid to it. It's a sheet. It just looks like a piece of film. But ions can go back and forth through it just like they could swim through the liquid, and the thing doesn't catch fire. I mean, you can, in fact, we did. We tried to light it with a grill lighter and just held the flame against it. This thing will not ignite at all.
Okay, so why aren't we using those in our phones?
We are. The day before we visited with our cameras, Samsung had been there. So, I mean, right now it's just in the process of scaling up, but, I mean, they have to come up with a factory. And I'll just throw one more nerdy battery fact in here. We call them lithium-ion batteries. They don't actually have lithium, the metal, in them, and it's a shame because lithium metal holds from 2 to 5 times as much charge as lithium ion juice does. And the reason we don't use lithium metal is because it's even more explosive than the stuff we're using now.
Ah.
So it would just be way too dangerous. So what this guy with the plastic separator is saying, well, wait a minute. If there's no liquid, if there's a permanent wall between the two sides of the battery, go ahead and use lithium. Why not get double the charge out of every charge? It can't explode. It can't catch fire. Let's go for it. So the only reason we're not already seeing these batteries is that there's no mass factory that's ever made lithium metal batteries before. So they kind of have to gear up to scale up. But I'm really confident.
All right, but when you speak of big factories, all I can think of is this announcement Elon Musk made a couple of years ago that he was going to build this gigafactory, which I think they're building now in Nevada, aren't they?
It is. It'll be the biggest building by square footage in the world.
And is it going to use this new plastic stuff from this professor?
Nope. It's going to be traditional lithium ion.
Well, why are we doing that?
Well, mainly because this guy at Tufts with his plastic battery had never told anybody until our cameras came. We were the very first press. So I have a feeling there will be a lot of transactions with this guy very soon. So the bottom line is Elon Musk didn't know about it.
Okay. Well, he should make a phone call to Elon Musk. License it to Samsung, license it to Tesla and Solar City and all the rest of these. Will this new plastic stuff that you're talking about, will it serve as a good storage device for the wind and solar power you were talking about before?
You know, in general, no, because those kinds of
forget
batteries.
It. Don't make the phone call. Cancel the phone call.
But for cars and electronics, yes. And by the way, Paul, you have to just help me do a reality check right here. Like I'm so into
this. I can tell.
Is this really boring? Is this really like, are your listeners going to be, oh my God, there's this guy talking about chemistry?
I'm into it.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Okay.
But we did do a ton of research into what could solve this wind and solar problem. And this really isn't boring. This will blow your mind. So the reason you can't use regular rechargeable batteries is A, they're very expensive. B, they, as you know from your phone, you can only charge that iPhone, 400 times before it starts not being able to hold charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about grid batteries, those need to last 30 or 40 years. We can't be replacing enormous banks of lithium batteries every year.
Or if you have an electric car, you don't want to have to put a new battery in that every year either.
Well, that's right. So for the grid, we visited, for example, this company, and there are several, who are making flywheel batteries. This is the craziest thing. Imagine a 5,000-pound steel disc. Looks like a stainless steel hockey puck that's been blown up to 100 times its size, spinning at 8,000 RPM, levitating by a magnet so that there's no friction, and placed inside a vacuum canister so there's no air friction. And so here's the idea. At night, when electricity is free or cheap, they spin this thing up to 8,000 RPM, and then during the day, when people turn on their air conditioners, that spinner motor turns into a generator and turns the spinning kinetic energy back into electricity. So, in other words, this thing is storing energy not through chemicals like a battery, but through spinning, and it's basically time shifting. And so PG&E, California's largest electric utility, just bought 2,000 of these things.
Wow!
As a trial, those are flywheel batteries. And another one, this is so insane, but it works. Ice batteries. This another company makes. They look like kiddie swimming pools, like above ground swimming pools, like maybe 10 feet by 6 feet and 5 feet tall. And that's all it is. It's a big bathtub. At night, when energy is cheap and free, they fill it. They have it filled with water. They freeze it into a giant blob of ice. And then during the day, when it's hot, and all these people turn on their air conditioners, they pump the refrigerant for the air conditioner through this ice. And as it thaws, it supplies cold to your air conditioner. So basically, any company that puts one of these things on their roof gets free air conditioning during the heat of the day, and they use no electricity.
Well, they need the electricity to freeze the water into ice at night.
Well, that's right, but remember, at night, electricity is almost free.
Yeah.
They're wasting it.
Wow.
Generally. So this is another way to time shift during the day. Anyway, so for something that's as sounded as boring as a show about batteries, it turns out to be really cool.
It's not boring to me, and by the way, if you are bored, you've at least learned one important thing here today. Do not poke your phone with a rake. or it will blow up. I don't know how somebody said, well, I have a phone and I have a rake. What will happen if I bang these two things together?
Oh, dude, they're all over YouTube. There are so many videos. I mean, you can imagine, you know, college kids with their pocket knife going, look at me, it's blowing up, you know.
Okay.
It's a popular activity.
All right. Now, before I let you go here, I got to talk to you about a couple of other things. Number one, you may be the only person who can answer this question that I asked a friend the other day, and he just shrugged his shoulders. Here's the question. Does anybody care about Google Glass anymore, or is that fad completely behind us?
Well, I mean, it was a flop. Not as a technology story, but as a social story. You know, people, there was this, you know, smugness involved in wearing them. There was a word for it, people who had them. Can I say it on the air?
No.
We called them glass holes. But, so Google took it off the market. And they said about a year ago that they planned to rework them, and they would put a light on that told you when you were recording, because that made a lot of people uncomfortable, that you could be filming all the time and people wouldn't know it. They would have folding earpieces, which the original did not, so you couldn't really store it. They said they were going to rework it, but we haven't heard a peep, so I'm guessing it's kind of dead for
me. Yeah, I just remember the enormous hype that was behind Google Glass when it first came out. I think it was introduced at a CES, and people were just amazed. Oh, my goodness. And I looked at it and I went, nobody's going to buy this because nobody's going to wear that and walk around without everybody else making fun of them, which turns out to be exactly what happened.
Oh, man, you called it. You totally called it.
Speaking of CES, you were there a few weeks ago, and I know you were reporting on it for Yahoo Tech. Here's the question I have for you about this year's CES. David, was there anything there that you would spend your own money on? Not get the free demo from the company, but David Pogue reaching into his pocket and saying, yeah, this is worth my dollars.
Usually I would say no. They're always plugging new kinds of TVs and new kind of virtual reality headsets that I wouldn't want. But the big trend at this year's CES caught everybody by surprise, and it was Amazon adding their Alexa voice control to everything, to cars and dishwashers and thermostats and light bulbs and vacuum cleaners. And, you know, like Ford has added it to their cars. So you can say, Alexa, open the garage door, you know, or, you know, Alexa, set the temperature to 68 degrees and things like that. So I guess it's cheap for companies to build that feature into their products because I mean, hundreds of companies were. And I think that, I think that's going to be a thing. I mean, our houses will be filled with these voice control. Here, I have a list. I wrote a list. So refrigerators, light switches, power strips, lamps, speakers, vacuums, satellite boxes, TVs, headphones, security cameras, door locks, air purifiers, washer and dryers, shower heads, and cars all have this built in now. So when you go to bed, you're snuggling into the covers. You just say, Alexa, lock the house.
Okay.
And all the doors are locked.
I got to stop you, David. Washers and dryers and dishwashers, we need to have voice controlled. We still have to use our hands to put the things we want washed inside the device, but we're too exhausted after that to reach over and start hit the start button?
No, Alexa, load the dishwasher.
Well, no, not Alexa, load the dishwasher, but Alexa, is the dryer done yet? You know, so you know if you need to go upstairs.
I'm too lazy to get out of my recliner and walk over to where that is in my house and listen for the sound of the laundry going around. I can't do that anymore. I need to have an AI presence that explains to me that the washer is done or
Alexa,
the dryer.
Fold the clothes.
Yeah.
Well, we chuckle, but you wait. You come back in 5 years and you'll see. The houses are going to be voice controlled.
I'm calling Google Glass on you.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
But you know there's going to be some sort of robot that you'll go, Alexa, load the dishwasher, and it'll load the dishwasher.
No, I'm calling Google Glass on that, too. This is my new phrase, David. I'm not saying that we won't have a lot of people buying the newest extensions of Amazon Echo and Google Home and all the other artificial intelligence devices in the home. I just don't think we're going to be using it for our appliances, like our dishwashers and washers. And what am I going to tell my refrigerator to do? Stay cold. Keep my food cold. I got it. Taken care of.
No, but how about Alexa, make it 2 degrees warmer in here? You wouldn't enjoy that?
Well, that's your thermostat. That's different than an appliance, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, come on. Because, that's an appliance?
Well, no, but on my phone now, we just had a new furnace put in our house, and we now have a Wi-Fi thermostat in our house. And so before I go home, I can have it start warming up the house because we keep it at a cooler temperature during the day.
That's right.
That's very important to do. There's no time where I'm thinking to myself, okay, before I go home, I have to turn on the dryer.
All right, well, wait. What about the dish satellite tuner? Now they've got Alexa in there. So you can say, Alexa, I want to watch Rambo. And boom, it's on. Or Alexa, give me Saturday Night Live. Boom, it's on. That's cool, right?
Yes, that is all of that voice command stuff that is coming into those kind of devices, I can understand, but not in your home appliance.
Are you in the bathroom? Alexa, I'm done.
I think it's the dryer that got you hooked up.
Absolutely is. David Pogue's new Nova special is called Search for the Super Battery. It's going to air Wednesday night on Channel 9 in St. Louis and the rest of the PBS stations across the country. He's also online at Yahoo Tech. And he also has a new book about the new operating system. If you're a Mac owner like I am, if you've upgraded to the newest one called Sierra, give me one tip that I should know that'll be really cool that I can start using that I probably don't know about Sierra now.
Well, the big thing about Sierra is they've added Siri to the Mac. So if you use it for nothing else, use it to open your apps. Just say, Siri, open Microsoft Word. Siri, open Safari. It's way faster than digging through your apps folder.
Yeah, you know what I like to do? I like to say, Siri, tell my Amazon Home to turn on the dishwasher.
Siri, ask Alexa if the dryer is done yet.
Always a pleasure, David. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
That's David Pogue. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
Alexa, please tell Tim Weiland to give us traffic information.
All right, Dan. Let's see. You've got an accident. It is on eastbound Highway 70 near Cypress. You've got a couple left lanes that are blocked. You're backed up to Highway 270. Westbound drivers are slowing from Highway 170. You've got an accident on Highway 111 north of Highway 162. Road work going on with the left lane down northbound 55 near Route 4. You're backed up to Highway 140. northbound 94 at South Breeze is closed due to an accident. They are diverting traffic onto South Breeze. And northbound 141, you've got an accident north of Conway at Brooking Park. This traffic report is brought to you by CC's Pizza. Now at CC's, take your taste buds on a ride with the Philly Cheesesteak Pizza, Santa Fe Chicken, and Kansas City Pulled Pork Barbecue. New on the Unlimited Buffet, just five and change at CC's. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Center.
You're listening to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon with Frank Opinion and the gang, weekdays from 3 till 6. Hi, it's John Carney, inviting you to join me for the Carney Show weekdays at 1 right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Tired of stale old potato chips in the vending machine? How about fresh fruit? How about a nice Cobb salad or a nice fresh chicken wrap? It's possible thanks to a St. Louis company called Dynamic Vending. They have a state-of-the-art kitchen where they will cook the meals every single day. They will deliver them to your office, and then you have the option of working through lunch with great healthy food options. You don't believe me? You need to find out about Dynamic Vending. They've been in business here in St. Louis for over 25 years. They're called micro markets, and what they're able to do is they're able to bring you fresh food. They have self-checkout payment kiosks. How would you like Starbucks in your office for coffee options? Yes, Dynamic Vending can do that as well. It is the most amazing company, and I'm thrilled to be their spokesman. DynamicVending.com, DynamicVending.com, or 314-895-1685. Revolutionize lunch in your office. Dynamic Vending.
Hi, my name's Elsa. I have AML leukemia.
And this is Simeon. Did you know that if kids are around cigarette smoke, you are exposing us to 10 times benzene levels from those cigarettes, which may cause AML and MDS? Please stop smoking for Elsa, me, and our friends. For more information, call 800-955-4572. Brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield Foundation, Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, and my friends at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Because you need to know. Turn to KTRS for world news updates from ABC News, the winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award for News Excellence, plus state and local news from the award-winning KTRS News Department. Because you need to know. The Big 550, KTRS. Depend on it.
Go to the St. Louis RV Vacation and Travel Show February 2nd through the 5th at America Center. Shop new RVs or just learn about traveling RV style. Save $2 on admission at stlrv.com.
Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are half-price Wing Tuesdays. Any size order of traditional wings costs half as much, making Tuesdays twice as good. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Hey, St. Louis. This is A.J. Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us this season at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park as we represent